You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you live from Stand Up New York Labs in New York City. Hi, everyone. My name is Chris Flannery. I am joined across the table from me by my good friend Andrew Genelosi. I kind of stumbled over my words there. That was embarrassing. Andrew Genelosi, welcome. Little Joe Harary producing the show.
What's going on?
Oh, look at this guy. And guys, making his triumphant return to the program today, my great friend, Joseph Noe.
Thank you for having me back.
Oh, wow. That's how you're going to return to the show. You're just going to let it fall flat. Okay, yes. Terrific. Joey, we love you. We're glad to have you back here.
I'm glad to be back.
Any thoughts about, being back on the show?
I'm very happy to be back. I just needed some time off to get healthy. Right. I feel much better now, and I'm looking at this soundboard again.
Are you? Yeah. You pointed out before we started that you can actually kind of reach over and touch it. I'd rather you don't.
I won't.
God, I want you.
What? Why would you say that? That is so bizarre. What a weird thing to say right off the top of the show.
Yes, it is.
Joey, I love you. I'm glad you're back. We missed you. And let me ask you this. Did you listen to any of the shows while you weren't here? I think you missed maybe three shows.
I did not know.
All right.
That's fine.
I'm going to go back and listen to them.
We had Edward Erickson from the Stamp Stampede on. We interviewed him. That was a great show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the one you should listen to.
I definitely will.
It's good to have you back, Joey. I missed you. Listen, everybody. We have a great show on tap today. We're going to get into some updates on some past stories that we've covered. I also have something from WikiLeaks involving the United States and France, which is very interesting. We also are going to revisit something with our old pal Taylor Swift. She got into a little bit of a thing with Apple this week, and she prevailed. Taylor Swift was the winner in that little confrontation.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, well, that's something we're going to get into. We're also going to get into the president of the United States, Barack Obama, was on the WTF podcast with Marc Maron this week.
Oh, nice.
Which is just a cool thing as a podcast studio, such as...
Have you listened to it?
Yeah, I listened to the whole interview, yeah.
Joey?
I have not.
No. Okay. You should check it out.
Yeah, we'll get
into
it a little...
Yeah, it's a fun episode.
Yeah, it's definitely a good episode. Yeah. It's something we're going to get into. And obviously, he dropped the N-bomb.
He did.
Was it in context,
the interview? Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
it was within context.
Oh, I hope so.
Made perfect sense. We're not going to get too crazy into that, but I do want to bring it up specifically to play a Fox and Friends clip.
Oh, nice.
Where they don't know anything about podcasting, about Marc Maron, and they speculate some stuff about Obama saying the N-word.
They need to stop
at inappropriate times. Well, that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's their whole game. Also, at the end of the show, we set aside time. We're going to talk about some of the details of the Charleston shooting that took place. We're going to get into a debate about this Confederate flag thing, where they're talking about taking the Confederate flag down. And we're going to be joined, actually, by our friend Aaron Friedman. He's going to come on. He texted me this week. He said that he wanted to argue about this, and I said, sure, come on the show.
I wouldn't say argue. I would say he wanted to have a conversation.
Well, he literally said he wants to argue.
Oh, really?
He said argue.
So we'll get him on the show. And if you guys remember, I mean, it was a while ago that we had Aaron on. We had him come on and talk about hockey. That was a bit where Aaron was going to talk about hockey, and he doesn't know anything about hockey. I thought that was funny. This is actually going to be Aaron talking as Aaron. No, it's not a bit. We're actually going to talk about it. Also, let me say this. We're going to let Joey, in honor of his return to the show, start off with one of his topics, which I don't know. Should we do that, Joey?
Yes, we should. And I'm going to start the show off right. So here we go.
No. We're not getting there yet. I'm just saying that is what we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
We're also going to let you pick a song at the end of the show. Aaron,
I'm so excited.
Andy generously allowed you to
thank you
to do that.
You're welcome. I had a good one for this week, but... That's fine.
All right. We'll just save it for next week. That's not a problem.
We will.
So, Joey, you save that. I'll ask you at the end of the show what song you want to go do. We'll let you start in a second.
Not to cut you off, but I think on Sunday, I might bring in a guitar or two and one of my older amps and maybe just a couple pedals and set them up in here and record, because I don't have a laptop right now, as you know. So I was going to install Ableton on one of these computers and maybe just come into the studio here and record, and just for fun, just because I've been coming up with some new guitar songs, and I figured, why not, like, check out what it sounds like in a studio as opposed to my room. So
cool.
So maybe next week I can play some live music on
awesome.
The show.
That'd be cool. Yeah, maybe do the intro live or whatever.
Yeah,
we'll
figure it
out. But great. That sounds terrific. So, like I said, Joe, you'll start off with your topic, but before we get into that, what I want to do, I got a tweet from this guy, Joe Pierce. It's @_Joe_Pierce
Super supportive.
Very supportive.
Thank you, Joe.
You made a mistake with that Twitter handle. That's too confusing, but I love you and I appreciate it. He tweeted a graphic to me and he said, you know, I'd love to see you guys talk about this on the show. What do you think about this? So, and he also sent an email that I'm going to use to transition later into the Snowden WikiLeaks story.
Okay.
So we'll get to that, but I just want to read this graphic. We can have a little discussion about it before we get into your topic, Joey. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. It's the quote is, "What they did not want you to ever find out is that your generation, the generation born between 1980 and 1995, actually outnumbers the baby boomers."
Oh, wait, what?
"They knew that if you ever turned your eye towards political reform, you could change the world. They tried to keep you sated on vapid television shows and vapid music. They cut off your education and fed you brain candy. They took away your music and gave you top 10 pop stations. They cut off your art and replaced it with endless reality shows for you to plug into, hoping you would sit quietly by as they ran the world. We as a society are only as strong as our weakest link. Give them hell, kids."
I agree.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I like the sentiment generally. The question is, who's they? You know, like, it puts out this they of, like, there is this, and of course we talk about it, the corporations and the very wealthy people run the world. Right. But this is sort of like this faceless day of, like, oh, this endless control, which I don't go for necessarily. But
no, I don't either. But this idea, I mean, everything she just said makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's
no, you think back to like the 50s and 40s of these kids who were way younger than us, probably 18, 19, being like, okay, I have to, you know, I have to find a job. I have to, I have to start a career. I'm going to want to have a kid in a year or two, or maybe even this year. Maybe I even have one on the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was that attitude of like, I have to go out and fend for myself. Where now there's this attitude of, because we watch all these reality shows, it's the attitude, of course, mine must be coming next. Not necessarily my reality show, but all these millionaires and everything. It's, I'm sure it'll work out for me at some point.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I hear that point. I think that that is the idea of the American dream, the idea where everybody's going to get rich, everybody's going to be famous or whatever.
Quickly, too.
Quickly, yeah, with very little work. It's like, oh, I'm just who I am, so people are going to pay attention to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But the real thing is, with the American dream, like, as it was first portrayed to everybody, it wasn't that. It was, you can have a family, you can have a house, like, you have a good standard of living. It's not a crazy amount of money. It's an amount of money that you can live on, you can be comfortable, and you can be happy, you can raise your family and take a vacation or whatever. You're right. That idea has morphed into, oh, I'm going to be Kim Kardashian, or I'm going to be
that's
Dan Bilzerian or whoever.
Yeah, it's this idea that, oh, as long as I keep, you know, watching these shows, and it just fills this false hope to everybody. And I think that's can be contributed to why voting has gone down, to why, like, there's no real push against politics, because everybody's laying back watching these shows, or not watching these shows, whatever. It's
zoning
just
out.
Our American culture today is that, I'll make it someday.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's the thing, is this whole I'll make it someday.
Right.
And 90, fuck, I don't know the exact percentage, but probably 90% of people won't.
That's higher than that.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I take it from this perspective. You're right. I mean, I think that it gives a false narrative to people, and it makes them have these weird thoughts about where they're going to end up in their life. I look at it as, the lack of art, the lack of culture, you're just being fed kind of this corporate, very sterilized version of things. That's the problem. When you really want to talk about where the United States has gone awry, why voting goes down, or why different ideas can't take hold. It's because nobody's actually learning things. You go to college, it's this ultra politically correct stuff where you from a textbook, but you can't even have a debate about things because certain words are taboo. You're not allowed to say them. So that stymies any kind of actual debate that you're going to have or conversation about things. You're not learning art, like actual art, dangerous ideas, things that you have to kind of grapple with and deal with. Everything is sort of this pre-packaged kind of corporate model. And that is the biggest issue, because then when you want to actually have a debate about something or have a disagreement or whatever, you don't have the tools in your toolkit. Right. You have no way to actually combat these things.
Now, question for you. Do either one of you had chills when you heard that? Because I got chills when I heard that.
I read it a couple days ago. I did, maybe not chills, but I know what you mean. It's like I read the thing that we outnumber the baby boomers.
Give them hell.
Yeah, the only way that we're going to be able to give them hell and like take advantage of the fact that we outnumber the baby boomers is that you have to put in the work yourself. You have to read. You have to learn history. You have to have
understanding. We have to get involved.
Yes, and you have to get involved.
And
yeah.
That's not a big part of our of the American
It's a necessity.
Popular culture is not getting involved.
No, it's sitting at home watching that goddamn TV.
Right. Exactly.
Or you just tweet about something.
Or you tweet about it.
Right.
And you have these accounts and these Instagram accounts where you feel you're making a difference because you have 3,000 followers and you get, 2,000 likes because you're a girl half naked and then underneath it you write some like deep quote and it's just like
hashtag blessed.
Yeah, hashtag blessed and hashtag, get the message out. It's like, people aren't liking your picture for get the message out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the idea of it's like an esoteric thing, and we talked about it I think a couple of weeks ago with the paintings or whatever in Qatar. It's people buying culture. It's not actually being cultured. It's not having an understanding of how the world actually operates. Right. It's buying culture. It's owning a degree of knowledge, but you don't actually have that. You don't know why you like that painting. You just go, it's really expensive, I bought it. It's like that's sort of the thing. It's ultra consumerism gone awry in America, and that's how I kind of relate to that that saying. So anyway, Joe Pierce, thank you, sir, for that. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your support. You always tweeted us, and it's great.
Yes, thank you.
And again, we're gonna read your email in a little bit. So all right, I just wanted to start off with that. Joey Noe.
Yes.
Please kick us off, sir.
All right. So my topic is, apparently, believe it or not, we're in the sixth mass extinction of this planet Earth.
God, I want you.
What?
A report led by three U.S. universities include Berkeley, Stanford, and Princeton. So we're talking about, Ivy League schools.
Top level schools. They probably know what they're talking about. Sure.
So the research has discovered that a number of these species have died out in the last 100 years. Under normal circumstances, meaning not human intervention, it would have took 11,400 years to have happened.
And it happened in 100 years, you're saying?
Yes.
I'm of the belief that within 100 years or 100 or 200, we'll see like a massive like world-ending...
Like extinction event?
Extinction.
I mean... I don't know if it gets into this article that you're talking about or whatever, but the bees disappearing, colony collapse disorder is a huge goddamn problem. If the bees disappear, humans will be gone in 100 years.
Yeah, because it gets rid of all the flowers, the pollination, the
plants. All our fruit, vegetables, all that stuff. It relies heavily on that. And plus, with all these oil spills and things like this, polluting the ocean, we're going to run out of fish.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, does it get into that, or you got anything else on this?
It does for a little bit. So, at the rate that the last 100 years has happened, it's 114 times quicker than it should have been.
Right. That's stunning. But not surprising. Is it surprising?
Leading causes, as you mentioned, pollution, carbon emissions, habitat loss, because you know how we love to cut down the jungles.
Oh, well, yeah, and actually I watched a Vice episode maybe a month ago, about the palm oil plantations, these illegal palm oil plantations that they have in Latin America. They are destroying the rainforests and different like jungle areas to get this palm oil, which goes in cookies and things like this. But it turns out we get a lot of like antibiotics in those jungles. That's the only place you can find them.
Where they were cutting down trees for what they put in ecstasy. Oh, did you ever God, see that?
What? No, I haven't seen
that. Yeah, there are these giant trees, and they're cutting them down in, I believe, Ecuador or somewhere like that.
Right.
And, yeah, they're cutting down these giant trees, which are huge for, like, sustaining life, bird life, and all this and that.
Yeah.
And they're cutting them down basically to extract the oil out of them to make into ecstasy.
Great.
Something nice. A lot of people don't even realize.
Oh, Little Joe Harari popping in.
Sorry about that, but something a lot of people don't realize. There's a lot of indigenous tribes in the jungles that haven't even seen humans before, other humans before, and now they're just like going in like, hey, what's up, guys? And just chopping down everything and just ruining their whole culture.
Yes.
And like, these are people that have not been, you know, influenced by any outside influences.
Holy fuck.
And that's
this
why
is wrong.
And that's,
it is wrong, Joe.
That's when you want to see the guy running to the creek with like 12 arrows in his back, and he just falls face first
Jock,
into the
start
water.
The plane. Well, yeah. Jock, start the plane.
The thing that I think about with that, like with the indigenous cultures where we're going in and kind of ruining these people's habitats, ruining their way of life, and kind of exposing them to our world much faster than they should be, even if at all, is that that's sort of the, like, if the system was set up properly to respect cultures, respect the planet, that wouldn't be an issue. We would know, like, oh, these people are here. The fact that we do intrude on them and then we interrupt their way of life just shows you that the system is all backwards. Like, there is a alarm system in place, and the alarm system is these people who are vulnerable, and we don't give a fuck. That's the most telling aspect of the whole thing.
Now, I also have a quote, because you know how much I love quotes.
I love,
So our quote is from Gennaro Sebelius.
Okay.
I can't do names. He's a professor. professor at the University of Mexico. Our activities are causing a mass loss of species that has no precedent in the history of humanity, and a few precedents in the history of life on this earth. For the most part, the mass extinction everyone always refers to is the one that happened 65 million years ago when a huge meteorite hit the planet.
And hurt all the dinosaurs.
Yes.
What a shame.
So we like to go big or go home. So since 1900, of the species that we have lost in the ecosystem, they've either been on the top or the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Meaning we're fucking up the whole system. So it's no one in the middle. It's not people like... There's a few creatures that you could miss and get away with, but we're destroying the important ones that everybody either is on top or on bottom.
Right, so the massive predators eat the ones on the bottom, and the ones on the bottom provide...
Nourishment for the big guys.
Exactly right. So, okay. All right, well, yeah. I mean, that's great.
According to the International Union of Conservation, help me?
I don't know. I can't see
Conservation?
Conservation?
Yes. Of nature, also known as IUCN, says at least 50 animals move closer to extinction every year.
Like what? Like tigers we're talking about?
Yeah. Yes. And there is one.
And like elephants and...
There is one that is on the top of the list. Does anyone want to take a guess which creature it is?
The white rhino.
Rhino.
The lemur.
The lemur?
The lemur.
Really?
Yes.
That's sad.
How? That Why?
I don't know. You're the one telling the story. I don't know. By the way, in case anybody didn't notice, we got a couple more sound clips for the soundboard. I'm very excited about it. Maybe we'll play those in a little bit. I have been. I've been peppering them in.
What's number two?
I don't have that. I just had number one.
The
lemur. But I'm assuming the right rhino, one of the tigers.
Wait, lemur or lemur?
Lemur.
Lemur. Right,
not Adriana Lima. She's fine.
Yeah, she's A-okay.
She will always be fine.
So the lemur, the monkey.
Yes, the monkey. The cute little thing.
Well, because what about that white rhino that has, like, armed guards around him? He's the last, like, hopefully able to reproduce.
I don't think that has to do with the extinction event, right? That's poaching and stuff like that. This is specifically related to,
to evolution. Evolution.
All right, Joey. Well, I think you did a nice job with that.
Thank you.
You're good? You got that?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's terrific. So... I think it's good we let you start the show.
Thank you. And it's up to us to maybe make a few changes and not kill everything on the planet.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
Can I just bring in one story before we start?
Sure. I mean, we've started. I mean, we are here.
Yeah, I know.
Let's do it.
Have you seen the new ISIS videos?
No. I read about where they drowned someone. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh,
I haven't. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I was like, I know what that's going to look
like. It's more, again, with like Hollywood setup shots and all this and that.
Right.
Really, they drowned another human being.
No, a couple.
They four. Did a couple people.
Yeah, four, and they put them in a cage, much like they did with the guy they set on fire, and they lower them into this pool, and there are underwater cameras to watch these guys drown to death.
What?
Yeah.
They have underwater, like,
underwater
GoPros.
Underwater cameras. Yeah. Jesus Christ. It's like this Hollywood production.
Why value. Not just go swimming? Stop being an asshole. You live in the desert. Stop drowning people. Fucking...
Have yeah. a fucking wow. pool party.
And, right. And another,
well, that is their pool party.
They can make one, a music video.
Another one was they handcuffed these four gentlemen in a car. Like, you can see them handcuffed up against that little drop-down thing for their clothing. And then they shoot an RPG at it, and it,
oh my
the
God.
Car just explodes.
Well, that's the bad. That's a way. I mean, that's ridiculous, but that's a way better way to go than the fucking drowning.
The drowning would be
maybe, but you could be just burned alive in the RPG fire.
So, what is the point of these videos? They're trying to.
Well, it's intimidation.
It's just another ISIS video.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Great. I mean, good start to the show. Listen, all the animals are dying, and ISIS is just taking over. No, I don't believe that, by the way. I don't think ISIS is taking over, but they what they are doing is horrible. Little Joe.
ISIS is actually like a common name, apparently.
Amongst?
Like people. Yeah, I saw...
I've never heard of ISIS.
You did have the well, Archer thing where ISIS, the name of the company was ISIS.
Yeah, I was at in Jersey the other day. I went to the liquor store, and there was like... You know when people are graduating from high school, they put like... They write in like that weird stuff on the car?
Yeah.
So it was like, I guess a family, like two kids graduated. One was like Gerald, and the daughter's name was ISIS.
It's a tough one to have, yeah. Congratulations, ISIS.
That's exactly what
it
said.
I think it's ISIS, but...
Well, ISIS is the it's a Egyptian god.
Oh, okay.
Right. So. Oh, that's right. Dying and reviving, right?
Also a pretty diabolical hate group, basically. all right, guys. So, look, I promise we have a number of stories that we're going to get into here. I think that was a nice start to the show. Good drop-ins. We switched it up a little bit. Usually I start the whole thing. Yeah. You guys started. I think that was great. Here's something I want to get into. Like I mentioned, we have a couple of updates I want to get into. And remember, at the end of the show, we're going to have Aaron Friedman come on. We're going to talk about the Confederate flag, Charleston, and all that stuff. I think that's going to be a good conversation. Freddie Gray's autopsy, which was supposed to be protected, they weren't going to put it out there.
Magically got out.
It leaked, and the Baltimore Sun reports that Freddie Gray sustained a single, quote, high-energy injury, likely caused by a rapid deceleration. Meaning he's in the back of the car, like we talked about.
He slammed on the brakes.
Yeah, he's shackled. They brake really quickly. He flies off the seat, bangs his head in a high-energy impact, and fucking breaks his spine. State medical examiner said his death, quote, fit the medical and legal definition of an accident due to police failure to follow safety procedures through acts of omission. So they didn't buckle him in and act, quote, an accident happened, but it's an accident they planned.
Question, what is an act of omission?
Like, they didn't, they know that if they put a guy in the back of the van with shackles on, they have to buckle him in, they have to take all these precautions. They chose not to do those things.
Okay.
So it's an act of omission. So it's like, I didn't lie to you, I just didn't tell you the whole story.
Oh.
It's the same idea.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. I just wanted to bring that up. Obviously, we're going to keep our eye on the whole Freddie Gray thing. The next thing I wanted to talk about, we brought this up a couple of weeks ago, the Seattle kayakers that were trying to... Were you here for this?
I was not.
Okay, well, Shell is trying to send this thing called the Polar Pioneer up into the Arctic to drill, and it's going to be a massive disaster, basically.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Within 100 years, there's a 75% chance they're going to spill. Okay, so it's a terrible situation.
A
yeah, it's not a good idea. So, in any event, about a week ago, 24 kayakers, they were in the water. They were trying to... prevent the Polar Pioneer from taking off.
So, tree-hugging, but in water.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
So, 24 kayakers attempting to delay the departure of Shell's Polar Pioneer drilling rig were removed from their kayaks by the Coast Guard and given $250 citations. They breached the designated 500-yard safety zone around the Pioneer. And obviously, they're trying to stop the thing, so they breached that safety zone. And they got pulled out of the water by the Coast Guard, and the Polar Pioneer took off for Antarctica, or Alaska.
So that's it.
Yeah, they tried to stop it. They didn't stop it. And we are now, mark the time, 100 years or less away from a massive oil spill in the Arctic.
So why can't we send a small, like...
Who we?
Maybe the guy should send a boat, the polar people, send a boat and block it off again.
No, the polar people are the shell people. They're
oh,
the
okay,
ones
no,
that are...
it's not the polar. So the kayakers.
The kayakers.
Maybe
what
the kayakers
about
should
the sea
upgrade.
Shepherd people?
Nah,
why don't they go after them?
Because I don't think they want to. Like, they're doing their own thing out there with the whales.
With the
or
whalers,
whatever. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, anyway, yeah. So,
I feel like I'd be like, all right, let's take a break because whaling season's done anyway. Like, let's, you know.
Yeah, but they got their own business interests, though, that they're not trying
that's
to,
true.
You know, it's like they can't
let's
be.
Turn starboard and go
yeah, they,
chase
they,
some.
They can't just disappear off to Seattle, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so the kayakers, noble in their ways, did
thanks
not
for trying,
succeed.
Guys.
Yeah. All right, so that's a little update on that. And then I just want an update on the TPA, the TPP. Fast track authority has passed the U.S. Senate by a 60-38 vote.
Thanks,
Obama
guys.
Could sign it by the end of the week. So this thing that we've been talking about for a while, this fast track mm-hmm. up or down votes, no amendments, passed, and it dramatically increases the chances of the TPP, which is this huge trade pact around the world. It dramatically increases the chance of it being passed.
Is there any way we can just sign a petition and tell all the elected representatives that we choose not to have them as elected representatives? Because how could you
it's called voting, but...
Okay. Well, we're going to have to start voting better because I can't believe
voting
these people
better.
Voted for that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it. There's really nothing we're going to be able to do about that.
Yeah.
Again, it's corporate control over policy.
It
and,
is.
You know, that's like we were talking about the stampede. That you get the money out of the game, mm-hmm. and it's going to dramatically enhance our ability to stop things like this or get people out of office that we don't want there,
yeah.
like passing this thing. But this is the situation we're in. They passed the fast track, and that's it. He's going to sign it probably by the end of this week, so.
No.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Yep.
Okay. So the next thing I wanted to get into is this, the Council of Europe, which is a, like a 47 nation,
okay.
Group that deals with human rights and whatever. They refer to themselves as the democratic conscience of greater Europe.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you? They urged the U.S. this week to allow NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden to return home and make the case that his actions had positive effects.
See, it sounds reasonable to me.
Of course. I actually had... Okay, on this, Snowden actually... Hold on, I got confused. You know what? Let me read the email first.
Okay,
then
read the email.
We got from Joe Pierce, and then okay. we'll get into this whole thing. Joe Pierce says, "Hey guys, I've been listening since episode one, and this is my first time writing in. While listening to MSP34, you got to talking about Snowden again. While I agree that Snowden did the right thing, I noticed that Chris got irritated at the fact that many people believe these programs should be enacted, meaning the surveillance programs. As far as I'm concerned, I think that says everything about the state of our country. It is clear to me, and from your data, that most of the citizens of America wish to have some sort of surveillance, even at the risk of their own privacy. I would love to have a spirited debate on this, if you wish. Love the podcast and keep them coming. I'm actually a listener from TFM and have a much different opinion on a lot of things you guys say, but I still enjoy the podcast." Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate the email. I love that people came over from TFM. Anybody else that did that, let us know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And I also like that even if you don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, I like that we're at least hearing that the show is entertaining enough or whatever,
yeah.
that you can kind of be on board, maybe get annoyed with us, yell at your computer or whatever you're listening to. That's fine, but I appreciate it. What do you guys think about this? I mean, I kind of like gave my opinion on it when we were talking the first time.
Yeah.
I find it frustrating that Snowden does this. We know that these programs don't work. That's the thing mm-hmm. that's frustrating about it. These surveillance programs, like Snowden said, I think we played a clip a couple of weeks ago. You're looking for a needle in a haystack, but the more data you take, you're making the haystack
bigger,
and you can't find that needle. It's almost impossible, which is the situation we're in. It's frustrating that people, I think, believe the programs work and stop terrorism, but it's pretty clear they don't. And that's what irritates me about it. To your point, Joe, I think, look, yeah, if people are going to be ignorant to these things and they want these surveillance in place, even if their privacy is at risk, fuck them then. Like, then you get the government that you ask for.
Yes.
And that's what these people want. I'm against it, and I think the politicians should be able to see through this stuff and make reform for our own good, even
yes.
if the American people don't want it, but it is what it is.
Me, always being the devil's advocate,
sure.
I don't mind losing my privacy if it's going to, at the end of the day, if and only if, at the end of the day, it protects everybody. It's used for the right reasons, and there was positive outcomes, then I'm all for it. But if that haystack is that big, shit's not going to happen.
Yeah, but and that's right, and that's a huge if, and we know for sure that the way it's enacted now doesn't do that. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't protect us the way we think it does. It doesn't stop what it's claims to stop. And yeah, and we know that for sure it is violating our privacy, mm-hmm. definitely. So, that's how I feel about it. Yeah, it irritates me, but at the end of the day, I guess if the polls are going to reflect that people think that the surveillance program should be in place, then the politicians should just keep them in place.
Oh yes.
They're, if you're governing by poll, which seems like is what they're doing, then they're making the right choice. It is the wrong choice, ultimately, but...
Polling data suggests.
Exactly. So, all right, that's how I feel about that. Now, let's get into the Council of Europe thing, and then I also have something about WikiLeaks that's interesting. Basically, what the Council of Europe says is that their 47-nation parliamentary assembly overwhelmingly passed the resolution calling for Snowden to be allowed a public interest defense, which is not available to people charged under the 1917 Espionage Act, which is what Snowden was charged with.
Okay, see, here's my issue. We're in 2015. Why the fuck hasn't the law been rewritten since 1917?
Because it works.
1917.
Because they're using it to
because
their
advantage.
Because
it works.
Yeah.
How?
Well, it works to keep whistleblowers quiet and then keep saying nothing.
Okay.
I'm saying it works for the government. It's not.
So what you mean to say is it benefits those who it's supposed to benefit, so they left it in place.
Yeah, of course. Why would they change something that works? They can go back, use this old statute, and Snowden literally can't. I have a quote from him. He goes, "It would be committing a crime by discussing my defense."
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He can't say I did X, Y, and Z to benefit the people of the United States.
Oh, because he's guilty.
Because he's saying I did that. He's not allowed to say what he did.
Do you think he's ever going to come back to the U.S. and do a trial?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
You think he's going to be in the wind for the rest of his life?
How old is he now?
40.
No, he's...
No, he's got to be 30s.
He's he's...
Oh, no, 30s.
He's young.
I'm thinking of Assange.
Right. But no, I don't think he's ever going to be.
No, he's probably 34.
Yeah, he's young.
He could do it in the next 10 years.
The other thing that he had to say, because he spoke to this assembly via Moscow. He was on video chat with
Skype
after they passed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, I think it's incredibly strong. It's a major step forward. If you can't mount a full and effective defense, make the case that you are revealing information in the public interest, you can't have a fair trial. Correct. And that's why they charge him with that. And he can't have a fair trial, which is why I think he'll never be back.
Yeah.
Because he's going to come back. He knows he's going to prison. It's not.
Yeah, that's true. There's no other way around it.
Right.
At least doing life.
So how would you guys do it?
And possibly death row.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, I think if they were willing to change the charges or give him the ability to actually defend what he did in a realistic way, I think he might come back because I think he believes strong enough that he can make the case.
Well,
and then he'd be willing to at least take that chance.
Question.
You know?
Well, and I think with a jury, there would be at least a possibility to make that case.
Maybe, but then we talk about that the polling data shows that people think that the surveillance programs work and are fine.
Where would he be tried, though? In Washington?
I don't know. Federal court,
it all depends on his jury.
Hold on.
of his peers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't even know if that's how it would work in a federal case, like how they would go about prosecuting him, if it'd be a special thing where it would just be a judge or an arbiter. Who knows?
Mm.
Here's a question. This might be coming out of left field and might be cray-cray talk, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
Cray-cray talk, you say?
As everybody knows, the president on his final term has this thing called a presidential pardon.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
And because Obama is, trying to build a legacy with the current administration and all, what if he were to presidentially pardon Snowden?
Nope.
I mean, it's a cute idea. I think it's so unrealistic. It's
so
crazy.
Unrealistic?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I just don't see it. And I don't think that... Personally, I don't think Obama thinks he's doing the wrong thing with this. He's actively gone after whistleblowers. He's tried to silence them. I don't think he has any interest in pardoning Snowden. I think he's probably pissed at Snowden. I really don't think that's realistic.
It was just an idea out of left.
No, you're right. But I really don't think that's even close to possible.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay.
So anyway, that's just something I wanted to bring up to show that there are groups out there, particularly in Europe, that are defensive of Snowden, are obviously with the cause of what he did. They think that the guy is a hero, like we always say he is. He's not a traitor. And I think it's important that the idea is out there, that it's not just a clear-cut thing where, oh, he's a bad guy, he did this and that. No, there's plenty of people around the world. There's a 47-nation coalition. Yeah. They support the guy, and they think he should be able to defend himself at the very least.
Yeah.
On top of that, WikiLeaks this week unleashed a ton of cables from Saudi Arabia and, mm-hmm. and United States and France and all this stuff. And it turns out that the United States has been spying on the last three French presidents, including their cell phone conversations, recording them and listening to their conversations. Jacques Chirac, Nicolas Sarkozy, and Francois Hollande, who's the current...
Why is it always do as I say and not as I do? Why is that?
Well, because we run the world, and it's easier to...
keep tabs on everybody?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it makes sense, kind of, from our perspective, to want to know what they're talking about behind the scenes and all this stuff. But... they're an ally of ours. This is the thing that bothers me about it, more than anything.
They're an ally of
ours.
Yes.
Why do we have to spy on them? Why can't we just have a conversation?
Because we don't
trust
them.
Right. Yeah. Or why can't we spy in another country?
Together.
Not ours.
Right. Yeah. So we've been spying on the last three French presidents. And don't be distracted, guys. There's people walking around. It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. People fine. In the studio.
What's going
right
on, man?
Now.
In any event, hey, so we've been spying based on WikiLeaks on the last three French presidents.
People dropping stuff.
We were also spying on the cabinet members and the French ambassador to the U.S.
Oh, that's good.
That's not 100% clear, but it seems like we were doing that.
Yeah,
so anyway, think about what we're doing to our allies, what we do to our own citizens. What are we doing to people that we don't get along with?
Right.
Like, how are we sabotaging? Well, right, exactly. We know we were torturing them and all this stuff. So it's like you put the pieces of the puzzle together. It all makes sense. Like, I don't know how people can look at it and be like, well, I'm not sure about it. No. All the pieces of the puzzle are there. You just have to,
you got to fit them together.
Fit them together. Exactly.
How many pieces do you think the puzzle is?
Joey, I don't even know how to answer that question.
Okay.
All right, so that's basically it for that. I got a couple more things to get into. Again, the Taylor Swift thing, we're going to do the Obama on WTF, and then we're going to bring Aaron in, and we're going to talk about the Confederate flag in Charleston, because I have some good quotes about that and, some details that we're going to get into. So here's our friend Taylor Swift.
T-Swift.
This week, Apple Music announced whatever they were doing, that they're going to have a three-month free trial for people, and during that trial they were not going to pay the artists whose music they'd be streaming.
That's not right.
Well, okay, so that's, you agree with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift came out and on her Tumblr posted a thing, said to Apple, love Taylor.
Oh, the open letter, right?
An open letter. Yeah. Well, it's not it's an open letter, right, but it's directed at Apple, and it's a little bit long, so bear with me, but I'm going to read, I have parts of it that I think are relevant, and we might as well hear what she has to say, and then we can just talk about
it. Are you
going to
read it in a funny voice, or are we going to do this seriously?
I'm probably not going to read it in a funny voice. No, I think I'm just going to read it. Taylor Swift says, I write this to explain why I'll be holding back my album 1989 from the new streaming service Apple Music. I'm sure you are aware that Apple Music will be offering a free three-month trial to anyone who signs up for the service. I'm not sure you know that Apple Music will not be paying writers, producers, or artists for those 3 months. I find it to be shocking, disappointing, and completely unlike this historically progressive and generous company. Yeah, unless you work at Foxconn and you try to jump yourself out the window because your life is terrible. this is not about me. Thankfully, I am on my fifth album and can support myself, my band, my crew, and entire management team by playing live shows. This is about the new artist or band that has just released their first single and will not be paid for its success. This is about the young songwriter who just got his or her first cut and thought that the royalties from that would get them out of debt. This is about the producer who works tirelessly. Okay, blah, blah, blah. These are not the complaints of a spoiled, petulant child, which I find interesting that she would defend herself as not being a spoiled, petulant child. Like,
why bother including it?
Guilty conscience, yeah. These are the echoed sentiments of every artist, writer, and producer in my social circles who are afraid to speak up publicly because we admire and respect Apple so much. We simply do not respect this particular call. 3 months is a long time to go unpaid, and it is unfair to ask anyone to work for nothing. I say this with love, reverence, and admiration for everything else Apple has done. Shut up. I hope that soon I can join them in the progression towards a streaming model that seems fair to those who create the music. I think this could be the platform that gets it right. But I say to Apple, with all due respect, it is not too late to change this policy and change the minds of those in the music industry who will be deeply and gravely affected by this. We don't ask you for free iPhones. Please don't ask us to provide you with our music for no compensation. Taylor, first of all, Taylor Swift definitely gets free iPhones and free products.
She gets
Apple.
Free everything.
Yeah.
And I will say this, though. Apple, in a series of tweets, responded to Taylor Swift. Eddie Q, who's the Apple Senior Vice President of Internet Software and Services, said, Apple will always make sure that the artists are paid. Apple Music will pay artists for streaming, even during customers' free trial period. We hear you, Taylor Swift, and indie artists. Love, Apple. And she responded, I am elated and relieved. Thank you for your words of support today. They listen to us. So, thoughts on this? Andrew, I know this is kind of like something that's dear to your art music, so...
No, not really, because it's nothing new with her, especially with the whole Spotify thing. Like,
see, this is the thing. It is kind of a new thing. And
how?
This is why,
how?
Well, here's why. Because with the Spotify thing,
yep.
She was making a point. She was saying, we're not getting paid for this. I'm not going to put my stuff out there. We're not getting paid well.
Okay.
But she didn't. But I mean, I guess it is kind of the same thing, right? She pulls her albums and all her work off there, which is kind of the same point she's making with this, but she knows that if she takes her album off here, other people might follow suit, and it's gonna
snowball.
Like, she knew that she had the ability to impact Apple by doing this. Spotify wasn't gonna shut down because she took her album off.
No, definitely not. But can she influence other artists? Yeah, definitely. So maybe there will be a problem. I don't foresee there. I mean, Apple iTunes, that's just such a strong force. I don't see them really being hindered by anything like this. But
yeah, but they did. I mean, they did cave to her. They said, okay,
yeah,
joke.
No, they did.
Go ahead, Andy, you finish. I'm sorry.
No. They did cave to her, but I think it might just be because it's her.
Well, she put them in. It is definitely because it's her, and that's part of the other part of this argument. Like, is Taylor Swift, like, she's gotten herself to a point where she has so much influence that it is literally just her. Like, Beyonce.
Well, it was,
this, like,
yeah, it was when she was like Justin Timberlake in 1995. You know what I mean? Like,
she arguably might have more power than that. I mean, she put Apple in a super untenable position because she put it out publicly when she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And they, whether they wanted to or not, they had to say,
they had to respond.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll pay the artist because she made them look disgusting in public, which yeah. I got to respect. As much as I dislike some of the shit that she does, and I think she's putting a lot of it on, I got to respect that. I mean, she went after a huge corporation that we know abuses workers in their factories and all this shit and has a ton of money. Fuck you. Yeah, pay the artist. And if that's what it takes, if Taylor Swift has to say, I'm going to pull my albums off and blah, blah, blah. Good for her. I got to respect her standing up to Apple and really
good.
Putting them in
yeah,
a terrible position.
You know what? You're right. I've never stood up for her before, but she's right on this.
She's
good
right
for
and,
her.
And she got where she, like,
good,
she understands where her
you,
position
Taylor
is.
Swift.
Yeah, good for her. So, oh my God, reversing from our Taylor Swift capitalist pig position. I think we're actually defending Taylor Swift on this one. Little Joe Herrera.
Do you details on how the free trial works?
No, I didn't really look into it
because,
too much.
Because, like, let's say it's a free trial.
Uh-huh.
Pure, you know, you sign up, it's free. You don't have to put a credit card down. Now these new music, these new artists, the one that she's defending, are going to send it out to all their 50 friends, and their 50 friends are going to play it 50 times each. And now Apple's going to have to pay out because...
Yeah. Yes, because, good. Yes, Apple does have to pay.
No,
yes.
I don't agree with that.
Why?
I think that's bullshit.
Why do you think it's bullshit? Why?
Because,
how much could
because now this new
be?
Artist is making money off of for no reason.
Well, no, they're not making money for no reason. They're making money because wrote a song. Apple has it in their service, which people pay a subscription for.
Yep.
And so those people...
But no, they're
that,
not paying a subscription for.
Not right now, but they're going to in the future.
But
they're
if you're
be
paying
included.
For it, then yes. Then you should get paid out. That's how I feel.
Right, but Apple will be making money based on the free trial period. They're going to suck people in based on that,
yeah.
And they're using
that
people.
That's not
money.
True at all. I you know, I signed up for Hulu for the free week trial, and then I was done. I got a free week out of it, and I never went back.
Yeah, but most people don't do that. Most
right, and you
people
know people
sign
are
up
gonna,
and
yeah.
then
People are going to sign up for Apple Music. That's a reality. Aaron Friedman popping into the producer's booth.
Well, three things. One is that it's worth it for them just to get whatever they're paying out the artist that you're listening to over your free 3 months or whatever. It's worth it for them to get your like information, email and shit.
Sure.
Secondly, Spotify had something like that where they paid you like nothing. There was this band that put together an album of whatever the minimum length song was. And it was that length of silence, and they told people to listen to it on repeat while they slept.
Huh.
So they basically outsmarted Spotify.
That is a brilliant
move. And then
they
were like, you guys do this, and then we'll come tour to your town.
That is awesome.
And they did that. And then the third thing was, is this guy just was this the plan all along, or did she actually change it? Was it just poorly articulated on their part?
Interesting question, and that is something that I thought of. Right. Maybe she had some... That's the thing, right. It's either a really bold move on Taylor Swift's part and really, like, a pretty good thing that she did, or, right, Apple had it worked out with her where it's like, Taylor Swift challenges us.
Oh, God,
we retort
really?
Back to Taylor, and we have this little agreement worked out between us. Yeah, that possibility... totally exists.
A prearranged argument?
Absolutely, yes. Like we're going to have at the end of the show. We've prearranged this Confederate flag argument.
Everyone right? should just be using Google Music. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, look, that's not... It is what it is. Or I guarantee there's ways to get music for free. But we're not going to get into those. But I will say this. I am kind of impressed, if we're not going with the Aaron Friedman conspiracy theory, that perhaps Taylor Swift... Oh, why don't you just come? Why don't you just
come
on?
Just
come on the show.
Just come. Oh,
yeah, okay. But I will come on. But not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm just saying that they were planning on paying artists all along. They just didn't clarify that point. So she was outraged, and they were like, "Oh no, we were going to do this all along."
Oh no, they were not. That was part of the policy, that they were not going to pay people for the free trial. But I thought you were saying that maybe they worked it out with Taylor Swift, like, you know, yell at us in public. It'll make everybody look good, and that's how it'll work out.
Yeah, if she really was like so uptight about it, she would go to Tidal. That new Jay-Z platform.
That seems like that shit's failing, though.
It's going to fail, but that's the whole point of it is to, you know, it's residuals on what you do for what you deserve.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, it's a calculated...
So, like, if she really, really cared, she would have been on that press conference on that bench next to Deadmau5 and Jay-Z and Beyonce and Madonna, who else was on.
Yeah, well, look, she's a cow. She is a... This is the thing, again, why
she's a cash cow.
She's a cash cow, and she's a businesswoman. She knows what she's doing, and that's why we...
No, people behind her are business people.
I think that she's a lot more savvy than people give her credit for, which is why we called her a capitalist pig months ago when we were talking about her.
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing when she does stuff like this.
Absolutely.
There's not a lot of risk on her part, because people are going to go, oh, how brave of Taylor Swift, amazing. They're going to buy her album anyway.
Exactly.
So, okay.
And they're just going to buy her album anyway.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I do think, you know, credit where credit's due. Taylor Swift did do a cool thing here. Maybe it was calculated, maybe it wasn't, but okay, good for her. Joining us on the program a segment early, whatever, you're already here, is our good friend Aaron Friedman. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, I know. I said at the beginning of the show, it's like the first time we had you, we were just doing a bit.
Is my mic working this time? What are you talking about? That wasn't a bit.
Is his mic working? Can you make sure that Aaron's mic... Yeah, because that infuriated me.
that was bad.
The mic just wasn't on or whatever. Yeah. There was something wrong with the wire. But
no, it just didn't get recorded.
Yeah, it just didn't record.
No, that was real. It was not a bit. And never break kayfabe around me again.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah, you're right. No, well, we should have you back on to talk about the NHL draft eventually. That takes place on Friday. All right. So anyway, before we get into the Charleston, the Confederate flag thing, which is what you really wanted to talk about, I did just want to bring up that Barack Obama was on the WTF podcast with Marc Maron, which, just from a podcast perspective, I think is really cool. I think that mm-hmm. like, is going to put podcasts in a light that they've yet to reach, or whatever that sense to make sense. But yeah, I think it's going to put podcasts on the map in a way that they haven't been before, because there's got to be a lot of people out there that know who Barack Obama is but never listen to a podcast. But this might actually put them in that realm.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we had this talk the other day off air. I thought a lot more people listen to podcasts than you enlightened me to. You said maybe, 20% of people?
Yeah, it's a much smaller number than you'd assume.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we work, you know, we work around podcasts and
we're
into it. But
with radio, though, it seems like it's dying out so much. And I don't know, I guess it's not, you know, we take the subway a lot and we... we take trains, so we listen to a lot of podcasts, this and that. But there are a lot of people who drive, and they still listen to the radio. And I guess that's just, I don't know. I kind of
lost.
That's
just how it works out. Well, like Sirius is in cars. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you get free subscription with that, so people listening to that type of stuff. They don't really have a reason to listen to a podcast necessarily. But I think with the integration of like, you know, just being able to plug your phone in and all that
with
stuff.
With the cell phone.
Spotify is going to be on. I think there's going to be more like streaming podcast services that are going to be available. So,
like when I wake up in the morning and I'm downstairs making my coffee and get my my grapefruit juice and all that, I always have a new podcast going and I listen to that, and it just kind of blows me away that I thought way more people of our age group
were
listening to podcasts.
It just blows me away that you drink grapefruit juice.
Yeah, it's been a past like 3 week thing. It's supposed to be really good for you. I can't sit there and eat the grapefruit.
Aaron does. I've witnessed Aaron destroy.
Were there ads at the Obama WTF?
There wasn't at the beginning. At the end, I forget who his ad is, but he said like, thank
you. I think
he
did a Casper.
No, I don't know what it was, but it was like, thank you for, you know, allowing us to do this commercial free, and he just did it at the end of the show.
Okay.
So, anyway, so I bring this up. Obviously, you guys should listen to it. It's WTF with Mark Maron with President Obama. It's a good interview, but the big takeaway that everybody took from it was that he dropped the N-bomb. Obama did, not Maron. That would have been crazy. and I have... It's not that big a deal. It makes sense in context. When you listen to it, it's fine. It starts about the 44-minute mark. You can just listen from there. But I do have a clip of Fox. What?
It's just crazy that people care. Like, who really thinks this guy like has never said it before?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that question because I have a clip from Fox and Friends, which is why I wanted to bring this up, where they talk about this. And let's just listen to this clip, then we can discuss it. If you have something to say, we'll just pause it. But this is Fox and Friends discussing Obama on the WTF podcast, and I love this clip.
Let's talk about something that just came out. I did not know this, but one of the hottest podcasts in the country is WTF with, I think his name is it Greg Maron?
It's Mark
Greg Maron. Okay, Mark Marone.
That was almost willfully ignorant right there.
That's why I
Mark
like it.
Mark Marone. Right.
They have zero. They're on television. They have producers. They have researchers. Nobody could get that right before they started.
There was no young PA like our age to walk up
Maron.
And be like, "Yo, hey, it's Mark Maron."
But not even this is their job to pronounce people's names all day.
Right? Exactly. Like, hey, man, no, it's Mark Maron.
No,
that's it.
They don't know what's going on. So let's continue with this. They just want to get to criticizing Obama. So here we go.
The president had a chance to sit down and talk to him about race in America. We're going to bleep it out, but he uses the N-word. Listen.
What? Why? First of all, you little pussies, just play it. How dare you? You're going to criticize it, but you're going to believe it. Shut up.
Racism, we are not cured of. And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior.
Okay, so there's the President of the United States using the N-word. He doesn't just say N-word, he actually uses the word. So today people are going to be talking, Brett, about whether or not it is appropriate for the President to use the N-word and whether or not it is beneath the dignity of his office.
Yes, and those people are sitting on this couch right,
right now.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are going to start that debate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was speaking on that podcast that is known for some crude language, apparently, sometimes. Some salty language.
The podcast is known for crude language. No, they're just not like babies and they can handle saying.
I really don't think it is, though. I don't think anybody's like, WTF. Oh, is that the one with the crude language?
Well, first of all, the title's WTF, not what the fuck. Yeah. He actually abbreviates it even in the title. No, of course. It's just they're having an adult conversation, and so sometimes they'll say fuck. It's not a big deal. All right.
And chose to say that. Listen, he is the prerogative, I guess, to say those things when talking about racism from his personal knowledge, and it has a unique...
They're just trying to get around being like, he's black, so you can say it.
Perspective, obviously, is the first African-American president. But I think it'll raise some eyebrows, and you'll probably have the White House respond.
Sure. I think many people wondering if it was only there that he would say it and not perhaps in a State of the Union or a more public address. doing this because he feels, you know, cloaked in the podcast that he felt safe to do it there.
Some people are concerned that he's going to start the State of the Union address.
Jesus.
Like, get out of here, you silly geese.
Yeah, he's fine there.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, so that's it.
Like, he's cloaking.
There's nothing complicated about that. There's nothing controversial about it.
Not at all.
He, number one, is a black man. He can say it if he wants to. And number two, he was making a point. It's not like he was just saying it gratuitously.
Yeah, I wonder if he's the first one recorded saying it in public.
Well, that I'm glad you bring that up too, because actually, if you Google president saying and you write the word out, there's tons of references to presidents.
Oh, really?
Like Lyndon Johnson, when he was during like the Civil Rights Bill, would refer to it as the Nigra Bill, depending on where he was. Nigger Bill. He would.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, let's not pretend that they haven't said it. Nixon used to say it, and come on. I mean, there was a Confederate president. You think he didn't say it once in a while?
There was a point where everyone before them.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, that's a great point, and that is out there. So, all right. Let's move on now to the Charleston shooting. I have a couple of things that I want to say about that, and then we're going to get into this Confederate flag debate, which I'm happy to have, and I think, Aaron, you have some point of view on this. As far as the Charleston shooting is concerned, we're not going to get too crazy into it because it's been covered a bunch of times all over the place, and there's a ton of information out there. I wanted to say this about Dylann Roof. I read his manifesto.
He has a manifesto?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. In my professional opinion, this kid is not, he doesn't as a guy that, you know, has opinions. This is my professional opinion.
Okay.
He doesn't sound crazy to me. He sounds like his ideas are based around ideas that have been out there forever. Alexander Stevens, who was the vice president of the Confederacy. I have some of his quotes. I have John Wilkes Booth, some of his quotes. Let me just read a couple of those and then we can move on. This is what this guy's manifesto sounds like to me. It doesn't sound crazy. Alexander Stevens, who's the vice president of the Confederacy, he says, "Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid at its cornerstone, and its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. This, our new government, is the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth." So that's the vice president of the Confederacy. He's saying black people are inferior to white people, and that's what this whole goddamn thing is based on. Yeah. That's the idea that Dylann Roof is putting forth in his manifesto. Let me just read John Wilkes Booth, a guy who I have a feeling didn't really like the idea of the slaves being freed, which is probably why he killed Lincoln. Mm-hmm. He says, "I have ever held the South were right. The very nomination of Abraham Lincoln 4 years ago spoke plainly. War. War upon Southern rights and institutions. This country was formed for the white, not for the black man. And looking upon African slavery from the same standpoint held by the noble framers of our Constitution, I, for one, have ever considered if one of the greatest blessings, both for themselves and us, that God has ever bestowed upon a favored nation. Witness herefore to our wealth and power. Witness their elevation and enlightenment above their race elsewhere," referring to black people, obviously. "I have lived among it most of my life and have seen less harsh treatment from master to man than I have beheld in the North from father to son." He's saying that the slave owners treated the slaves better than the fathers treated the sons in the North. Which I don't believe that. "Yet heaven knows no one would be willing to do more for the Negro race than I, could I but see a way to still better their condition." So he thinks that them being in slavery is a way better thing than even being the son of a person in the North.
Yeah, because they're going to be taken care of better.
Yeah, because they're inferior anyway. Okay. Yeah. So that to me is what is being echoed in Dylann Roof's manifesto.
Is he the first person to use that? Well, the framers of the Constitution to own slaves? Like, is he the first one to use that argument?
Dylann Roof?
No, Booth.
I don't know.
Just in the opposite way.
Yeah.
He would be one of the first
could be
ones.
He could be the first actual historical reference of that. This is what I want to do.
Never mind. I was going to read a long sermon, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not good. After what you said.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I apologize. I was going to read just... I have a couple of the quotes of the victims that got killed. They're kids. Their relatives. No, here's why it's important, because they deserve.
I don't want to
say
hear.
Boo.
That was before.
Seriously, they deserve to have their stuff out there. It's not graphic, Andy. It's nothing like that. They deserve to have their voices heard because.
Yeah, I get it, but.
What? What do you get? I don't know what you're saying.
No, it's fine.
The sister of DePayne Middleton Doctor, who's somebody that got killed, she says, "I'm a work in progress, and I acknowledge that I'm very angry. DePayne taught me that we are a family that love built. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive. I pray God for your soul. May God bless you." She said that directly to Dylann Roof.
Yes.
When he was being arraigned or whatever. They had the opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah, they talked to him through
the closed circuit TV or whatever. Alana Simmons, who's the granddaughter of Daniel Simmons, said, "Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof that they lived and loved. Hate won't win." Felicia Sanders, who was Tawanza Sanders' mother, said, "We welcomed you Wednesday night to our Bible study." She's obviously talking to Dylann Roof. "Every fiber of my body hurts, and I'll never be the same. Tawanza is my son, but he was my hero. But as we say in Bible study, may God have mercy on your soul." And the daughter of Ethel Lance said, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me, but I forgive you. Have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. May God forgive you, and I forgive you." First of all, that's Christianity. If you want to talk about
if that's ever Christianity,
that's it right there. We're anti-abortion. We're anti-gay. Okay, that's Christianity. Forgiveness, looking at somebody that you don't have to forgive and treating them with mercy. That's beautiful. I wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing, and then we can move on. There has been a mass shooting in America every 172 days on average since 2011.
That's not good.
And this obviously fits into that. Okay, that's what I wanted to say about that. Now, let's get into this Confederate flag thing, because...
It's like, you know those things about, like, we're this many days without, like, an accident or whatever.
Yeah, workplace accident.
This many without mass shootings.
Right, yeah, it's been 140 days since somebody walked into a church and murdered a bunch of innocent, like, loving people.
So we got, like, 5 months then, right?
Yeah. If the averages hold. We'll see. get out there and have fun, guys. We'll see what happens. So... Aaron, you texted me the other day and you said that you wanted to talk about this Confederate flag thing. Why don't you tell me what you want to say about the Confederate flag? Because I have some quotes and shit that we'll get into.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't like us talking about this immediately after that. I don't like the way that this. Look, when I was in middle school, when I was in high school, this like, oh, Confederate flag, should they fly? It's been an issue. Always, because they've always the flag, or at least since people have been talking about it, it's existed. Mm-hmm. And then I hate the way that these things just become hot immediately.
Right. Like as a reaction. Well,
yeah. It's like, now we're going to talk about it and we're not going to shut up about it.
Right. I hear that. What's interesting is that this is the conversation that's taking place, which I'm not saying it's not a good conversation to have. I think it's fine. I think you're right. Yeah. In the immediacy, there's going to be a lot of heated feelings about it and whatever. It might not be the best time to talk about it. But if we in America, if we don't talk about it after something happens, we never talk about it. Stop talking about it. The interesting thing is that we haven't had a conversation at all about guns, like gun safety and all this stuff.
We're just tired of that conversation.
Yeah, we're just tired of nothing happening. So literally people are just like, forget it. We're not even going to have this conversation. Let's talk about the Confederate flag. Because you wanted it, you were like, you're not sure how we feel about it.
Looking for a good argument because I'm friends with all these, quote unquote liberals.
Okay.
First of all, so many comedians who, when the Seinfeld is like, colleges are too PC, like, you can make rape jokes, totally fine to make a rape joke. And then this came out and they were like, you need to take down the flag.
Right.
Just if you're for freedom of speech, you're for freedom of speech. It's not a conditional thing.
Yeah, I hear that. I'll say this. It's been taken down. It's going to be taken down in a lot of places. The South Carolina State House, Walmart, Virginia license plates, Mississippi flag, Alabama State Capitol. Like, it's happening. They're taking this thing down. And it seems like this is going to be the end of this, basically. I agree with you, though. Like, I am a big freedom of speech guy. I think if you want to put the Confederate flag up, you're going to look like an asshole. That's fine. You have the right to do it. Do we think that the freedom of speech should extend to statewide things? Like, should this really, should a symbol of what is essentially white supremacy be flying over the state capitol?
I think it should be a state referendum. I mean, either just a straight up bill that right. they pass or a referendum and let the people vote on it. But either Why, way, though? Either way, it's not up to some dude in New York City to say, take it down.
No. Well, what dude in New York City? What do you mean?
Yeah. All of my friends on Facebook.
Yeah, but there's writers all over the place. Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's a guy that I always read. He has a lot of good quotes mm-hmm. about it, which we could or could not read, depending. But.
Well, here's my question.
Yes,
Shouldn't we put the flag in itself in context of what it's supposed to mean? Because to me, when I look at the Confederate flag, mm-hmm. I think it means states' rights. And only states' rights.
Yeah, but
that is not a supremacist thing.
Do you...
That, no, in my view, in it? My opinion... In my opinion,
well, okay.
if I was going to use the Confederate flag, that's what symbol I would host.
For. Okay. How do you see the Confederate flag?
Well, here I'm going to switch it back to Joey. Here's what I'm going to say: it's a state's rights. What did that state write? What were they trying to defend by putting that flag up?
In that context, slavery. I would believe.
Well,
that
there's
would
only
be the whole
one
point.
Context.
Among other things,
it's mostly been used. As a white supremacist symbol, like we just read, the, mm-hmm. the vice president of the Confederacy, this kid who did the shooting is using that rationale of like white supremacy over
white supremacy.
Black. So that's the state's right. They're fighting for their right to have slaves because they're subordinate to white people. So yeah, while it's a state's rights issue, it's like it's also a symbol of fucking hatred and keeping people in bondage, essentially, mm-hmm. is what it is. It's sort of the same, because I agree with you with like this freedom of speech thing. I'm torn with it because I, on the one hand, I think, yeah, why should this thing be flying? It is a demeaning thing to every black person in the country should look at that and feel a certain way about it. Like this is saying that I'm subordinate to white people. Essentially, that's what it represents. At the same time, why shouldn't the individual have the right to have that if that's their point of view?
Well, not even should they do.
Right.
They completely do. And I think that while it does, it means different things to different people, but it could straight up be a flag of a dude getting lynched. And if they want to fly it, they can fly it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complicated one, but it's not though. Like at a certain point you just go, this thing should be in a museum. It should be part of the history. But it's a bad.
So, what is the difference between it being in a museum, as you just said, and it being at my house, greatly displayed?
Well, I mean, again, you could have it at your house. I think I don't think that it shouldn't be at your house.
I'm not saying it would be. I'm just asking what would be the difference?
It's a piece of history.
It's a piece of history.
It's something the same way that you could go to a Holocaust museum, or you could go to a World War II museum.
In that context,
there'd be some Nazi stuff up. That's a different story.
Somebody on Facebook said this. So it was like a meme of like, well, what would happen if they were flying the Nazi flag in Germany, where it's straight up illegal.
Right.
And I was like, that is what makes America better. Really? No, really. Right. That you could fly any flag here, or burn it. Fly or burn.
Right. Yes, but I think as far as it being a state symbol, I think that becomes the problem then. It's like we can't.
But then it's that, I mean, could the alternative is what Congress says that you can't, that no state can fly it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to come to that. That's going to be the
So
thing,
why
right?
was it been flying this entire time?
Would you think that you think that's constitutional though for Congress to say for Congress to try to ban a state government from flying it? Because I think it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Congress has done that on a number of things. I think ultimately this might become a Supreme Court thing where they're going to have to decide whether it actually is freedom of speech, or because it is symbolic of something that is a negative idea like white supremacy. I think that might end up being the issue. No, I don't think Congress is going to get involved in this at all. I think that senators and people have come out and said, I think it's time to pull it down, but that still remains on the states to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably is the type of thing where inevitably it's going to be taken down, where it'll just mean,
oh, I think it's going to be taken
down
pretty quickly.
It'll mean less to people.
Well,
at
that's
least at least the positives of it or whatever. The legacy argument is going to mean less to people, I imagine, over time.
Right. Well, and part of the other thing, it's like we do focus on it because it was part of the Confederacy, it was part of the Civil War, which had to do with slavery and all that stuff. But it did.
True.
This iteration of it came out again. It was gone for a while after the Civil War. There were some other iterations, but this is the battle flag, and it was used during civil rights.
Yeah.
It came back into the conversation. It became a symbol of trying to keep civil rights down.
Very true.
You know what I mean? Which is an interesting aspect of it.
It is interesting.
Well, it just seems odd to me that it took all the way to 2015 to anyone notice that the state was still flying the flag.
They stopped caring.
Been out there a while. This is
the first time we've had this conversation this way with like the internet in this age.
Right, and which I will say this, the thing I do actually really like about it is it's kind of refreshing to see an idea come out, people be like, yeah, you know what, we should take that down, and it just happened. Like, it wasn't this massive debate. It was just like, yeah,
that's
it's a dumb symbol. We should probably stop representing. Again, you know,
I mean, symbols, that's what I mean. The symbol is dumb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Period.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, but what is the, let me ask you this, what is the difference, because how far are we in? We're about an hour and 10, we'll wrap up in a couple of minutes, but what is the difference between like a German parliament having the Nazi flag up is like, well, you know, people fought bravely for that cause, so we might as well represent them in like a state capital. Like, how do you reconcile that with, because it's kind of the same idea if you have the Confederate flag up.
How do I reconcile the idea?
Yeah.
I don't. They can't, because they don't have freedom of speech. So we're better.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be anything.
Right.
But if they want to fly it, it's up to them.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. But do you also think that it's a good... I mean, I agree.
In my mind, this is completely black and white in my mind. That I'm not... By no means also my... I get that it means like certain things to certain people.
Right.
I'm not defending the flag by any means. I'm just defending the right to fly it.
No, I get it. And I that is kind of how I'm torn about it, because I am free speech like that. I think that you should be able to do it. And, you know, ultimately, it'll be people will understand the argument. It'll get to a point where they go, I'm just going to take it down.
In terms of like with the N-word, when people say you can't say it, I can. I can say it. I just choose not to because I'm not a dick. You know, because people are like, when you say it, that upsets me. I would be an asshole to do it. So don't do it.
Right.
So I think you probably should be sensitive to other people and not do it. But if you want to, you have that right. And I defend that right wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and that's sort of the that goes along with the PC argument and wherever, where people are trying to say like, oh, you have to be accepting of Caitlyn Jenner and all this stuff. It's like, you don't actually have to be supportive of it. You can choose to not be. But you would hope that the conversation and like the more information you get would.
Well, there's actually a similarity, I think, between Caitlyn Jenner and then obviously that, what is that, Dolezal or whatever?
Yeah, Rachel Dolezal, yeah.
And then this is in terms of identity and meaning is this very personal thing where you know, you see this Jenner character, you know, you could see a man, she could see a woman, you can see racism, they can see heritage.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the other aspect of it. I think there's probably a good percentage of people that, you know, fly the flag because it looks cool. It's a cool flag to have. And they're not looking at it as like, oh, I'm better than black people. They're looking at it as like something that is Southern pride. There's a percentage.
I'm pretty sure black people fly it too, no?
Well, Kanye West tried to appropriate it a couple of...
Did he really?
Yeah, he put it on a t-shirt and he said, that's my flag now.
Oh my God.
which I really like. I'd be totally cool with that. But that begs the question then, right? Should it be out if Kanye... If it's Kanye West has truly appropriated this symbol to be his thing, then it should be fine.
So here's a question. So we can't fly the flag, but so if we have such negative feelings toward this flag, how the hell on Amazon it went up 2,000% in sales?
Well, it's the same thing like gun sales go up.
Why? Because you just can't get it, so everybody just goes out there.
Tonight.
People just saw it for the first time. They're like, oh, it's pretty. I've never seen this before. It's pretty.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, right. What percentage of people, because of this debate, are like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that flag's really cool.
I think it's a prettier flag.
Than the stars and bars? Oh, no, that is the stars and bars. Yeah, than the stars and stripes?
Yeah, I like the symmetry. I'm attracted to symmetry.
Chris Cutlass. Yeah.
What's the matter? Well, we'll be done in a second. We'll wrap up. Andy's trying to pull the plug on us a little early. We'll be done in 2 seconds. That's another thing that I'm also torn by because I do graphics and I'm like a very visual person.
Betsy Ross got her ass handed to her.
Yeah, for real. The Confederate flag is like a very cool looking flag, taking all meaning out of it. And I'm going to say this, and this is not defending Nazis or anything. The Nazis like... symbology and like uniforms and stuff like that was impressive purely from a design point of view. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
Like, I actually just respect it from a design point of view. But, of course, I don't support the Nazis. All right. So, anyway, I think that this thing is going to be taken down. Like, I think that movement is kind of... That ship has already kind of sailed. And... oh, Andy getting it from the table. He's taking a break. Okay. I think the ship has sailed with Confederate flag. You would probably agree with that, that this is probably already...
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's done. Joey, thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I wonder just what the process will be for it coming down. As long as it comes down in the right way, that I think it's in this case, South Carolina's decision to make.
Yeah, well, and I think... Well, and it's interesting. Nikki Haley, who's the governor, came out, and she said that she wants to take it down, and they have to have a vote, obviously, still to do that. What's interesting is the other states just popped up out of nowhere. Alabama, Mississippi, they're just considering changes on their own, which is kind of nice. It's kind of nice to see that people are making that decision.
I think on one hand, nobody wants to be the last, but you really want to be the last. You know what I mean? Like if you're...
No, you don't.
Well, you don't, but you do.
You want to be in unison. You want to show that.
I get what you're saying. Right? It's like, yeah, we're taking it down.
If you're going to fly it in the first place, you want to be the last one flying.
Right. Like,
okay.
Exactly. Right. And, so they can just brag about it. Like, yeah, we don't fly it now, but you know, Mississippi was the last one to have that flag up.
like me and my flip phone.
That's right. Aaron recently, well, this has been a while now. You just turned into your iPhone. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Did you have a good, you thought this was a good conversation about this thing?
I did. Yeah. It was, you know, Monday when I texted you, I just wanted to just go off on it immediately. I kind of stopped caring since then.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us anyway. I think it was a good discussion. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Oh, Joey.
Yes.
So you're going to end this show with a song. Is this
yes,
correct?
I would.
What song would you
the
like
song
to end the
I
show?
Would like to end it with is by Saul Williams. I believe it's called Shakespeare Act 3.
Shakespeare Act 3. Okay, I'm going to try to find it. We're going to put it on the end of the song.
Nice.
Good pick.
You.
Oh, my God. No, don't do that. thank you, everybody, for joining us once again this week. Joey, it's awesome to have you back. I'm really happy
I'm
to see
to
you.
Be back.
Happy
thank
and
you.
Healthy. It's good to have you here. Aaron, thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
Do you have anything that you'd like to promote? You're good? You just
follow me on Twitter, @ I'm Aaron Friedman.
Perfect. If you guys want to subscribe to this program, you can go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySampson. You can follow us on there. You can leave a comment on the SoundCloud page. We always answer them. It's great. You can go to dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs. You can check out full episodes of this show. The link will be in the SoundCloud, but you can check out full episodes of this, all the other shows we do. You can go to Labs Live. You can watch the live stream of this show and all the other great ones that we have going on. If you'd like to get in touch with me on Twitter, I'm @mansamp. The gentleman to my right is
Joey from Jersey.
Jersey with the Z. Andy's @A_Lozzi, L-O-Z-Z-I. You can also email us @mandatorySampson@gmail.com. And you can find me on all the other stuff, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever. I'm Mansamp across the board. So thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back next week, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
To all the youth in the ghettos, suburbs, villages, townships. To all the kids who download this song for free, by any means. To all the kids short on loot but high on dreams. All the kids watching TV like you are, Michelle is me. And all the kids pressing rewind on Let's Get Free. I hear you. To all the people within the sound of my voice. Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. I didn't vote for the state of affairs. My emotional state got me prostrate, fearing my fears. In all reality, I'm underprepared, cause I'm ready for war, but not sure if I'm ready to care. And that's why I'm underprepared, cause I'm ready to fight, but most fights got me fighting back tears. Cause the truth is, really, I'm scared. Not scared of the truth, but just scared of the length to go to fight it. I try to hold my tongue, son, I try to bite it. Not trying to start a riot or incited, cause Brutus is an honorable man. It's just coincidence an oil member wage war on an oil-rich land. And this one goes out to my man, taking cover in the trenches with a gun in his hand. Then gets home and no one flinches when he can't feed his fam. But Brutus is an honorable man. Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. Built in accordance with the Dow Jones. Dow drops fresh popcorn and bones. A machete in the heady who doesn't see me.
worship upon and the streets of the lawn. You should know that these examples could go on and on. And what sense it made to keep your ears to the street? Long as oil's in the soil, truth is never concrete. So we dare to represent those with the barest defeat. Cause the laws to which we're loyal keep the soil deplete. It's our job to not let history repeat. Shift and shape the world you want and keep your fears in the noose and let them dangle from a banner star-spangled. I'm willing and able to lift my dreams up out of their cradle. Nurture my ideals so they're much more than a fable. I can be all I can be and do much more than I'm paid to. And I won't be a slave to what authorities say to. My desire to live within a nation on fire with creative passions burn and raise the stakes ever higher. Where no person is addicted to some twisted supplier who promotes a sort of freedom so does the highest fire. We demand a truth actually at one with the land, not a plant that photosynthesizes bonds of demand, or a search for any weapon we let fall from my hands. I got beats in a plan, I'ma do what I can, and what you do is question everything they can do. Every goal, ideal, or value, they keep pushing on you. If they ask you to believe it, question whether it's true. If they ask you to achieve, it's for them or for you. You're the one that asked them to go carry a gun. War for